And just like that, we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Black Gold Creative Podcast. This is season 5, episode 1. It's part 1 of 3, actually. Billy and I were kind of long-winded because it's been a long summer. That's the name of this episode, The Long Summer. Metaverse, Kanye, HP3, and coffee. Lots to talk about, lots to discuss. We really have missed doing this podcast. We've missed interacting with you good humans online in regards to this podcast and, you know, the lives that we were doing. But we are back. We hope that you enjoy. We hope that you're ready to dive in. A lot of new things happening for Black Gold Creative in regards to not just the podcast, but coffee, music, you know, community things. Yeah, things are moving right along, picking up right where we left off. And we hope that you come along for the ride. So here we go. The Long Summer, episode 1 of 3, part 1 of 3 of season 5. All right, peace. Hello, dear humans behind the screen, friends and family, aliens alike. We are back in the pod seats. I'm literally like in a pod seat right now. I'm in my gaming chair right now.
Pod so racing.
So we had this on video. I will look very small and unintimidating. We are back in the building. I'm Dre Murray. This is the Black Gold Creative Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host.
Jabba the Hutt.
Yo, Billy Wigington.
Bro, listen, it's been so long since we actually recorded a podcast that Logic, when I opened it up to record, it don't even look the same anymore because the update. Oh, really? I was like, what's going
on? It has been. When was our last episode?
It probably was in April or May. Probably in May. I don't know. We took the summer off on purpose, but bro, it's been a long summer.
Yeah, it feels like we need to make an album called The Longest Summer or something. But yeah, dude, it's been a long summer for sure. It's been a long year, man. 2020 like was going by so slow, then it sped up, and now I feel like this year is just like it's in that weird mode of you look up and the months are going by fast, but it still feels like it's dragging for some strange reason. You know what I'm saying? It like there's so much being stuffed into 2021. Like there's just a lot of stuff being packed into it to where there's this dragging effect happening. You know what I mean?
Great. Yes, we were just talking about that as a family, and man, I really didn't think we were going to jump right into anything like super serious right away. However, we were talking about this as a family, how it feels like we literally just had Thanksgiving and Christmas. On the one hand, it was like, oh, we just did this, like,
right,
like nothing happened. What, we just took down the decorations, like what happened? And on the other hand, it feels like so many things were crammed into all of those months. And so we were talking about why, like, what's that phenomenon where it feels like that? And one of the things that I think might be contributing is I read this article the other day about teenagers and young adults, I guess they're saying like 35 and under, the anxiety and depression and, you know, panic attacks and all this kind of stuff are common. To the point where if you're in any given room with a group of people and you could say, hey, how many of you struggle with this? Like clinically, not just like, oh, I'm stressed, like, but have anxiety, that most of the people would raise their hand. Like it's some like a 90s percentage, like in the 90s.
Wow.
Wow. And the question, obviously, that everyone's asking, you know, that psychologists, sociologists, everybody's asking is, how is that possible? Like, what is contributing to that? And of course, everybody has opinions. So I'm going to give mine.
right now, exactly.
Which is, here's mine. I tend to think that we used to blame it on social media or video games and stuff as the contributing factor. And we thought it was like stimulation in the brain and all these different kind of things. And I'm sure that's part of it. I'm not a scientist. However, one thing I've noticed is, I'm not a scientist, man. The illustrious non-scientist. But one thing I've noticed is I know that when I see things on social media, Twitter in particular, where it comes fast, that I can't process everything that's happening. And so when I was younger and a celebrity passed away, we would hear about it within a day or two.
Right.
And then you process it if they were famous enough and if you were connected to it at all. And then you move on. And then when something happens in your personal life, you process it in real time, slowly, alone or with family, and then you move on. But what's happening now is there's like celebrities, quote unquote, that I don't even really know. Rappers, I've never heard their songs. Movie stars, directors that I don't know who they are, that you feel the weight of it. Because everyone's talking about it.
Yes.
You feel the weight of every court case. You feel the weight of every shooting, of every gun misfire, of every album that drops, even if it's an artist you don't know their music. Like, everything is so important and equally put in front of you that unless you have self-discipline to tune out some of that stuff, you will feel like everything is equally, like, weighty. And I tend to think that all of us, teenagers and young adults in particular, because of the underdeveloped sense of self-discipline and all that kind of stuff, but even people my age and older, everything's just put in front of you. So you feel the weight of it all, even though you're not really trying to. You know, every death, every birth, every announcement, every newsworthy thing, you don't find out about it later or in the Sunday paper or in a magazine. You hear it all right then. And it's just too much, bro. We're not meant to be God, or we're not meant to be the arbiter of the universe that knows it all the time. We're supposed to deal with our own life only. You know what I'm saying? And those around us. That's it.
That's huge, bro. Like that particular point of it, it's crazy. You said that like we're not God. And you think about, those cheesy movies where somebody, they get to be God for a day and all these voices are going off in their head and they're hearing everybody's prayers and all this kind of stuff. And that's our humanized version of what it is to be God, putting him as man. But truly that thought of being all knowing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like having to know it all and process it all is the thing. And then have an opinion about it all, because God has an opinion about everything, right? God has to have an opinion about everything. Obviously there's things on a surface level that you might think, oh, he doesn't have an opinion about that. But the inherent part of it, like there's something going on there that God has his hands in that particular thing. We don't have to have our hands in every particular thing, right? I was listening to this podcast where Tristan Harris, who's he used to work at Google, but he's one of the main characters in the Social Dilemma documentary. And he has a separate podcast where his whole mission is to, I don't know if it's to necessarily dismantle social media, but it's to do it the right way in a human way, whatever that looks like. I think that's just his life's goal or mission. But he talked about he said this quote from, and I forget who the quote was from, but it said, we have Paleolithic minds, we have medieval governments, and we have godlike technology.
Yes.
And the that's fact amazing. That
that's killer, bro.
The fact that all of those things are working at the same time is why we have the issues that we have today, because it's like, you know, it's like us handing the keys to a Ferrari to or a Tesla to an ape or to you know, or you can even take it smaller than that. Like we talk about sometimes doing, you know, giving, trying to explain something to an ant. It's right. Like it's like we have people that can explain these things, but I don't think we can fully understand them because they are godlike things, right? They are right. It's technology, and that's the way that we're moving towards, you know, this whole conversation is started in the mainstream. It's already been a thing, but now it's, you know, how things go to the forefront and it becomes everybody has an opinion about it and everybody knows more than everybody else about it. But the metaverse and just I peered in on it and two things. Number one, it freaked me out. The fact that it's the inevitable,
right?
It's going to happen. But number two, then I got this thought that we were already in the metaverse. Like we've been in the metaverse as far as the idea of what that is.
Yeah.
Is all it is story. That's all it is. So we've been in the metaverse since we've been telling stories around fires to each other, taking each other out of reality and placing the other person in a story to where we can imagine it. Now we've just fast tracked in the last 10 years or so to the point now where, cause video games were that too, right? Video games were a form of the metaverse. Now to be inside the game, live there.
Yeah, movies, the dawn of movies was watching someone else live out their fantasy.
Yes.
Second, we had video games, in particular VR, or even not even VR stuff, but, you know, I remember, what was it, World of Warcraft and Half-Life and those kind of things. I think it was Half-Life, I don't know. Whatever those games were where you get to create your own avatar and live your own, the second life. I've noticed that with Animal Crossing, simple, fun games like that. It's like this escape and getaway. You get to be this other character with a different wardrobe and a different house and different friends, and it's this other thing. Now this, the metaverse situation is turning that, it's blurring those lines even more.
Yeah.
It's like, y'all never seen The Matrix or WALL-E or what? Like, you just keep playing with it.
Exactly.
Just keep engineering that future for us.
Yes.
It's wild because it's clear that this is the closest to all knowing that any of us have ever been, and we're not doing a good job at handling it and processing it and wielding that information well. We're not doing a good job at it.
Oh, you have to throw the Star Wars reference in there.
Yeah.
Not wielding the Force properly.
Yes.
But I mean, it's true, man. It's like, I couldn't help but continue to talk about what I saw and what I felt the other day with just some people that I was working with, and I know I may have seemed, because once I fall down a rabbit hole with something, like I immediately had to find my way out because I was like, I can't be spending a bunch of time on this, man. It's like, but one of the things that got me out was that kind of helped me with the anxiety that I was having over this, and it wasn't even like huge anxiety. It was more so like, This is insane. Like that we're actually here, and I've seen this in a movie before, and we're in the movie. But one of the things that like calmed me down was just having these thoughts of, we've been in this already, right? We've been just not at this level, but we've already been at this place, at this particular, you know, level of technology. It's just being developed and enhanced over time and made better and better and better and better, to the point to now we are the video game, like, which lends to the theory of I don't even want to bring this up on the podcast. We'll start having people with thumbs down everywhere, but which lends to the theory of
conspiracy theories.
It lends to the theory of this being like a simulation. Us becoming the video game. You know what I'm saying? It's like who's controlling this?
That's a little conspiracy theory ish. You have to admit.
It is.
But yes,
it
I
is.
Know what you mean.
It is.
Yeah,
it is very conspiracy theory ish. But I mean, it's and of course I don't subscribe to that. But the thought of because when we talk, when we say simulation, like you think about somebody like actually playing this thing like a video game. But I think that theory has become clearer to me as far as like the people with this high level thinking that try to explain it. When they try to explain it, it sounds so creepy and so like conspiracy theory esque and so far out there. But over time, seeing the technology catch up with the theory is making it clearer for me because I'm starting to see it manifest more and more to
this
where
man
it's
said,
like
manifest straight up. Yes. No, I know what you mean.
But it's,
yes.
it's coming to life right before our very eyes. And so it's like, how can you it's not somebody like I don't think that there's an actual like controller of this thing. It's more so like we are creating this world to where we're going to be living in a freaking video game. Like in the simulator, if that's what you want to call it, is going to be us. Like we are getting closer and closer to, like you said, you know, being able to create, you know, what you look like, who you are. Like you're being able to, at first it was just living out somebody else's fantasy, like you said, or playing a video game and creating this thing on the screen. But what happens when it becomes you? Like what happens when it, like I saw this thing yesterday where they're creating the hands now where you can actually feel in the metaverse. Like now you can actually, if you pick something up, you can actually feel it in your hands when you hold it. And that's, it's like, dog, we already have a universe, bro. Like we already have real life. What are we trying to do, and why are we trying to get there so fast is my thing. So, yeah, so the simulation theory or argument, I don't think it's a theory. I just think it's something that we are heading towards, and we are the ones that will, you know, if you fall into that world, like you mentioned the Matrix, that's all it is. It's just being plugged up to something and living in this world, man. It's just pretty freaky, bro, when you think about it. But
yeah, you know. And part of it, I think, is the reason why it's more freaky is because some of it is semantics. It is like what we're calling it or what we're afraid to call
it. Yes.
And I think if we were to be realistic about it, be sensible about it, just with the conversation surrounding it, then we might be able to get to a healthy place. I think of it all the time with regard to screen time and video games with my kids, right? Like, I've tried to sort out, like, I love, you know, I say I love video games. That would be an inaccurate portrayal. I have friends that love them way more. They play all the time, even as an adult, with or without kids. There's different kinds of games out there. I love that people love that. That's just not me, but I do have certain games that I play with my children, or I play on occasion by myself, but not at any normal rate. It just kind of did never stick with me. But for my kids, they play these games, and sometimes it's like hours, and we try to monitor that or go, well, you played that one yesterday. Why don't you take some time off and do this one today? Do something different. You're playing with a friend. Okay, cool. That's a different layer. But I try to think, why weren't video games like that when I was a kid? Let me just try to understand why they're different so that I don't just think video games are bad, because I don't think that. But there are some things that are unhealthy. So what is the reason? What are the differences? Well, one of the things I've noticed is when you play Mario, you play it until you lose or until you win. And then you get off when you have to get off. And you self-control it. You self-regulate it. And you play for 30 minutes or an hour or however long. And then you put it down and go outside. Or you beat it and go, I won, you know? And then there was the dawn of saving games, right? So you save it. Yes. So that was even better. You play for 15 minutes to save it and then go do something else and come back later. And it was kind of divided up. Now there's these games where there's no saving or pausing or end to it. It's just live and exist in this other universe.
Yes.
And on the positive side, there's a creative element, like games like Minecraft, where you get to create. So it's like, that's cool. But if you never told your child to get off, they would stay on it for 8 hours.
Yep.
Because you just get to create and live in this other world. You don't have to do anything, right?
Yep.
And so that's the difference. And I'm trying to understand as a parent, like, how to help them understand that. So now we bring it back to real life and technology that's meant for adults at the moment. Well, what are we talking about with simulation and metaverse and all this? Well, if you are someone that has a lot of money, right? If you are Jeff Bezos, if you are Elon Musk or whatever, there's no difference between real life and simulation, because you are able to do whatever it is that you want. You are able to conjure up or create or afford whatever it is that you want, including dreams like, I think I want to go to space, you know, including, I think I want a car that does this. You pay the best people to get on it and create it. There's no difference between simulation and all that, you know, like if they say, I want to buy a house in this place, they go buy a house in that place, period, end of story.
Yeah.
For you and I, we still can't quite comprehend that level of control of our lives or of other people or of economies. And so the only way we can control it is when we're in Animal Crossing and you say, I want to go buy this or build this thing or do this, then you get to do it in that game, right? And so what's going to end up happening is, I think the more the technology meets up with people's desires and abilities, that's where the simulation becomes reality. Because there are different levels to it. There are levels of, you know, coronavirus stuff kind of changed that for folks. I wish I could work from home. I wish I didn't have to go to meetings all day. I wish this could be an email instead of a meeting. So we like did that.
Right.
We effectively turned the simulation, the ideas we had in our mind, into reality. And so it is a scary thing. I think some scary stuff will happen in the future with that. We'll have to watch that. But I think some people are already living in it, Dre. Some people are already living in the Wild West. They're living in, I get to do whatever I want. And that's creepy. It's weird.
Yeah. The thing that Jeff Bezos and you know, Elon Musk or whoever, you know, Bill Gates, whoever,
mm-hmm.
and them, I don't know them personally, so I wouldn't know if they would want to change something about their physical appearance, right? But because the plastic surgery and the weight loss journey for somebody that just wants to do it the natural way, like, that takes time, effort, commitment, discipline, right? It takes effort and strong will to be able to go under a knife and let somebody change your face or do something like it. And it takes a lot of money to be able to do that, right? There's a sacrifice that has to be made when you do that. To be able to, because now they're talking about it not being like a cartoon like Avatar anymore, right?
Right.
The next step is for it to be a human like Avatar.
Right.
We've already seen that with the technology to be able to, with the AI making people that don't even exist, just random faces based on a scan of all the billions of people on the internet, and you mm-hmm. come up with this person that looks very human, but doesn't exist. And so the technology is there. So now in this world, it's not a cartoon. It's real life, a real life universe now, where real people are creating another version of themselves to look a certain way without spending the money, without taking the time to create a regimen, without eating healthy, without getting off the couch.
Right.
They are creating a version of themselves. So now, you don't have to be a billionaire to do this. You could be working at wherever. You don't even have to be employed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can just be sitting on your couch doing this and create another version of yourself. So when I say freaky or scary, again, the semantics, like the actual words.
Yeah.
Like, I mean more so, like, like the tweet I put out yesterday, like, wow, that's crazy. Like, that's
the Wally-verse, bro.
Yeah, bro. Like, that is insane. Like, that's going to be a thing now, right? That's what I mean. Like, it's not necessarily scaring me like I'm fearful because it's the inevitable, right? But we are here is my right. thing. Like, man, like, we are here. And the classism, and that's the thing about this whole conversation, is that there's good in some of this stuff, right?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
The people being on the even playing fields is a good thing in society. But the jacked up thing about it is that is not happening in reality.
I was about to say, the like, messed up part is this assimilation.
It's assimilation.
Which starts to peer into the motives right there. It's like, dude, right. let's give everybody a fake equality, fake equity.
Right.
They feel like we're all equal.
Yes.
But we're not. And it's
yes.
like, oh,
you got to take those glasses off.
Yep.
Because what does that lead to when you take these glasses off? Because we're already facing the phone and there's anxiety, depression,
oh, yeah.
people harming themselves. What yep. happens when the dopamine hit is yep. heightened to the point to where now the algorithm isn't telling you what to see? You are saying, I want to see this because I'm God in this universe. But when I take these glasses off or this headset off, I'm no longer God.
Right.
And I have to face reality. So what happens to the anxiety, the stress, the depression, the suicide? What happens to the levels at that point?
Right.
That is the part that freaks me out, is that the loss of reality, the loss of being human, like we you know, that's our thing, right? The human, being more human and dear humans behind the screen, like, it's more real. It's like we said that and we continue to say that. And the more that I think about, you know, that was just a random thing that I was saying one day. But the more right. I think about that now, like, we are, like, we have to remind each other daily. Yeah. Like, yo, like I said that in a corporate meeting the other day. We had our annual meeting about how to basically improve work conditions, and whether that be technology, whether that be our interactions with each other, whether that be, you know, the workflow, whatever the case may be, how do we improve, right? We do a survey and we rate what's going on now, and then we talk about those numbers and how we can improve. And they're anonymous. Like, you don't, you know, they don't know that I did a 3 or a 5 or 1. It's just right. anonymous. But one of the things I said was, like, the human element. If I walk into a room and you see me, let me know you see me. And it's right. and that's not a arrogance or a, you know, I have to have everybody talking to me. It's just, at a human level, we crave that sense of,
right.
man, these people see me, right? There's this guy that he's a young guy out of college. He's kind of like, we have this system where I work, to where you can come out of college and you can basically go through all the different departments and type of job functions in our company, which is, there's a lot. And you get to pick which path you want to go on as a college graduate, right? And they kind of fast track you into this path. Like, you have to submit for this, you know, and all that kind of stuff, application. Well, he got in and now he's going around. And I didn't know who he was. I just saw him one day in the elevator, spoke to him. We sparked up a conversation. We were both walking outside. He was going one way, I was going the other way. Ever since then, he would stop by my desk and just spark up a conversation with me. He saw the Star Wars jacket one day, and we start talking about that. And we start, now we see each other, and it's all love. Like, we, you know, and I could have easily just not said anything to him, right? and just walked away to where, you know, it's not even about us having a conversation every day. It's just like, he's interning, like, we have to see people, man. Like, we have to be able to remind ourselves daily, because it's hard being human, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard living.
It is.
I thank God every day for another day. And I say this out loud, like, in this human experience, because we are living in a human experience. Like, we are more than this flesh that we have, right? There's so much going on with us, but I know that I'm actually having an experience as a human being. And at one time, I wasn't conscious. I wasn't having this experience. So the fact that he's allowed me to have this human experience at this particular time is something that I'm thankful for, right? Every single day. And I do that as a reminder that, like, dude, you're a freaking human being floating on a ball in space that's rotating and being lit up by a star that, if close enough, could set you on fire. Yeah. And I know that people are like, what in the hell are you talking about?
No, listen, we've been doing the space unit in school, and I'm telling you, it's kind of interesting, man, almost in opposition to the video games and the conversation we've been having. Rather than looking around us and wondering what's going on,
right,
we've been looking up at the stars. We literally have a telescope. We have been, oh man, we've been looking at all that. And it's amazing that you can see the other planets, several of them. You can see them every night. You can see them. They're bright enough to see. You get that telescope, you can see rings around Saturn. You can see Jupiter's moons. The other night with the eclipse, we set an alarm and woke up in the middle of the night to see the moon differently. You can see craters on it. You can see the mountains on it, like the hills, you know, with the telescope we have. And we're just like, it's wild that some people don't believe we went to the moon. It's wild that people think the Earth is flat still. It's wild when you can see this stuff, if you're willing to be awake and conscious and trust science and numbers and experts, and even trust your own eyes and experience as much as it lines up with that other stuff. And it's crazy, man, because honestly, you know, one of my kids almost has the opposite of claustrophobia when it comes to space stuff. Like, it freaks them out. They almost have an anxiety attack type of situation that happens when they see a planet up close on a telescope, because it's just a reminder of how small we are. Not insignificant, but small compared to the galaxy. We're in a planetary system that's a part of a galaxy that has other galaxies around it as well. And all of those galaxies are orbiting a black hole. Yes. It's like, wait a minute. So we used to think, though, which is interesting about this whole simulation, you know, all this, that all the technology we have, used to, we were, what is it, geocentric or whatever, where we thought everything revolved around the Earth.
Right. Yeah.
So you would say, well, those people were so self-centered back then and all. Now we know that we revolve around the sun, and there's all this planets and all this space out there, and we're so tiny. And yet, because of the orientation of our lives, we more than ever have everything revolve around us. We are more inward focused and self-centered now than those people hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago ever were, because they knew that no matter how significant or not they were, or how big or small they were, it took a community to build a culture and to sustain life together. Yeah. And now we have this false sense of, I can do this alone. Yeah. And I can do this in isolation, and I'm very important. And he comes up on every episode. We're going to have to get him on one of these seasons. We'll figure out a way. But Kanye West, Mr. West, we can get him on somehow. We know we have mutual people that know him.
Yeah.
We can figure this out.
We're like one space, what, 1 degree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can figure it out. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Black Gold Creative Podcast. This is season 5, episode 1, part 1. We hope you enjoyed it and that you'll tune in. We hope that you'll tune in for the next couple weeks at least while we drop part 2 and 3 of this first episode. We're going to be talking about lots of great stuff. We're glad to have you guys back listening. We're going to be sharing some new things with coffee soon and some new things with music. So we hope you guys stick with us. We appreciate you. Don't forget to like and subscribe and comment and share and all that kind of stuff. And we'll see you soon.